Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 20. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see that the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to be withdrawn from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in his name." Then they called them in again, Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in the eyes of God, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." May God bless our understanding of this holy word of abundant life. Amen. The wording of this particular passage has always struck me. We're with Peter, who denied Jesus three times following his crucifixion, and John, who followed Jesus' dying request to care for his mother Mary. Two very different men. Two reportedly ordinary men. Two men traveling together in the name of someone and something they believed in. Noted here for their courage. To provide a little bit more context, Peter and John were imprisoned by the temple leaders and the high priests, jailed for spreading a message of new life, for telling people about Christ and the redemptive life promised in following his commandment of love. And just before this, we have this image of them in jail overnight while the high priests worry. They worry because people are starting to take to this idea. They're starting to believe in the beautiful and difficult set of things promised by Jesus, relayed through Peter and John. We're told that the number of believers grows to 5,000 people overnight. Now, it's hard in the age of social media to feel like that's a lot, but it was. But it wasn't so much the numbers that baffled these priests and the rest of the temple leadership. It was this set of simple yet stunning moments of courage from these ordinary men who shared the company and the love of Christ. Now, here's the thing I really love about this story. It's that the courage that is spoken of here, courage, period, is always born of love. And if you listen to the stories about courage, every single one of them is somehow touched by love. Stories we hear all the time. Stories about love of family, love of justice, love of country, love of God. These loves that send us forward, sometimes inward, with courage to do the work that must be done. And that's the thing that Peter and John say at the end of this passage. "As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard." They're talking about Jesus' ministry, about his commandment to love others, about the love that was moving, healing, radical, unpopular, sacrificial, transcendent, the love that was Christ himself. This extraordinary love, made up of all these moments of seemingly ordinary courage from ordinary people. So, what then should we do with this? My personal opinion, I think we continue to put ordinary and courage together and see what happens. Because I think when we do, we leave room for the possibility that very few things are truly ordinary in the eyes of God, and that wherever we might be at any given moment, courage is right there with us. Because courage is almost like a spiritual muscle. Occasionally, it feels like some people are heavy hitters, benching the weight of the world. I am not. And while I pray I would have the strength to lift the proverbial car up off the baby, if that was what was needed, I also know that what I'm doing, lifting my, again, proverbial 5-pound hand weights in my living room, that matters too. Even on the days when it feels like I'm not doing anything right, like I don't have the language or the knowledge, and certainly not the wisdom, to do things that matter. Then, I am reminded that what is ordinary and what is courageous can exist in the same space, in the same breath, not at all mutually exclusive, not somehow opposed to each other the way the high priest believed them to be. Because, in fact, they are on fire with possibility. Because when we lean into the idea that seemingly ordinary moments of our lives can be transformative, a lot changes. Because no act of love, no act of kindness, no act of reconciliation, of forgiveness, or mercy is ever, ever too small. There's a fantastic story about a man who is walking down a beach after a long storm. On this beach, there are thousands of starfish that were washed ashore during the storm. And as he's walking, he sees a woman going very slowly, picking up starfish one by one and gently throwing them back into the ocean. He approaches her and asks her why she's doing what she's doing. Why is this thing, this act with no glory attached to it, no outward gain for the woman, why this thing? She explains to this man that the tide is going out and the sun is coming back up and that these starfish will die unless she throws them back. He responds, not with malice, but he tells her, but do you not realize that there are many miles of beach and thousands of starfish? You cannot possibly make a difference. And this woman listens for a moment and then bends down and picks up a single starfish and gently tosses it into the water. It made a difference to that one, she tells the man. It's easy to feel daunted by the enormity of life sometimes. I know I often feel daunted by the enormity of life. To get stuck on the fact that there are thousands of starfish. To listen to the warnings and not to the voice of love. To not know where to start or what to do. This is where courage comes in, that spiritual muscle, that act of love. Kind of like the courage to tell a few people about something you believe in, or the courage to listen while someone else tells you what they believe in. Courage like that, the kind that we could easily call ordinary, when in fact it's extraordinary. Courage like being willing to be wrong and being willing to change your mind. Courage like asking for help. Courage like those unglamorous moments that so many of us hide. The ones where our humanity is raw and our egos are bruised and we're just downright hurting. The courage to be uncomfortable. The courage to help someone else feel comfortable. The courage in knowing that we can do hard things. And just as there are 1,000 ways to kneel and kiss the earth, there are a million ways to be courageous on any given day. Sometimes it's getting out of bed. Sometimes it's clear and tangible, something you can hold and know. Other days, it's the radical act of truly listening. The days when I might not have anything to show for it, but that doesn't mean that I'm not somehow changed by it. Letting yourself be floored by the courage it takes to tell a story that is true, that holds all the tenderness of life in it, that's messy and somehow filled with the fabric of grace. The courage to find the thread of God in it all. To exercise that spiritual muscle. To stretch beyond this idea that anything imbued with love, as courage is, could ever truly be ordinary. And so I ask you, where have you been courageous today? Where will you continue to be courageous today? So, one sacred breath at a time, one story at a time, one starfish at a time, in all our ordinary, messy lives, may we do the work of extraordinary courage together. O Creator God, you who assembled the stars, you present at the birth of every person and every nation, you, one whom we know by so many names, and through the actions of love all around us, through the sacrifices of so many people, through the devotion of those who dared and who still dare to dream, you are here with us. In the long, warm days of summer that allow our kids to know your creation better and better every year, and in our own internal seasons, as things begin to shift within and around us, we hear your voice in the gentle reminder that you can hold all things, pride and heartbreak, joy and uncertainty. Help us to know when to give up or take up the fight. Be with us in our discerning, God, just as you are with us in all else. Remind us that in all of our trying, we are loved. You, who are the compass of our hearts, help us to seek that true north that is boundless love. Help us to be brave in our love and reckless in our mercy. Gift us with a kind of beautiful foolishness, Lord, the very kind that lets us believe we can change things for the better, that in our every sacred breath, we seek you and your peace. All this we pray in the name of the one who was called the Prince of Peace. Amen.